So, welcome to the Proud Lily Whites podcast for another edition. I'm Sean.
And I'm Lee. And we've got a bumper-filled episode to go through today, haven't we, Sean?
Oh, yes. Well, we've come to the end of the women's season, so we need to be talking about that. We're still on tenterhooks in the men's season as to how it's quite going to finish. And, of course, we've got our end-of-season awards, which the votes are now in. We can officially reveal the winners of the goals of the season and the players of the season from both men's and the women's. But we're not going to do that until the end of the podcast, just to tease you all along a little bit.
So let's talk about the performance then. So we've got the final result for the Barclays WSL.
Yep.
And we've got the women's team finishing in a very respectable fifth place, which, well, I think at the start of the season
we would have taken. I mean,
more than taken, yeah.
Our highest ever finish in the league, the best of the rest, which is kind of, as if you listen back to what I said at the beginning of the season, what I wanted was to be competing with the you know, those teams that were following on the top four, and that's certainly what we've done this season. I think we've been lucky at times. I think the second half of the season, we haven't performed particularly well, partly because we've had a lot of games against the big teams. But we've been lucky that West Ham and Brighton have also had shocking second half of the season as well. And so they weren't able to catch us. And we won 1-0 against Leicester last day of the season to secure that fifth place spot. And that woman, Ash Neville, with a headed goal once again. It's been a while since
popping up again.
Yeah, not. It's been a while since we've seen her scoring with her head, but she did it on Sunday to give us that one goal lead in front of almost 4,000 people at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to watch that game. So pretty respectable figure, similar to the first game of the season against Birmingham, of course. And Rhian Skinner has said in her pre-match interviews that she'd like us to be at the stadium more next season, and that's the intention, for us to be playing there a bit more. I have mixed feelings about that, but a great finish. And I mean, Rhian's come in and done fantastic things. You look at, so the last two seasons, of course, we finished seventh and eighth, our first season and our second season in the Super League, both times actually finishing on 20 points. This time we finished on 32 points, so shows
that,
a real improvement.
That in itself is, you know, and some of those points that we got there, they weren't necessarily against just the, what you would say is the lower, no disrespect, but the lower in the league teams. They were against the ones in and amongst us, and some points off of ones.
I mean, you have to remember that first season was truncated, so that's not a full season's set of points, but still, you know, 12 points ahead of last season's. I think if you look for game for game points, it's probably reasonably similar to the first season we were in the Super League, actually. So not the huge improvement necessarily from that first season, although again we didn't play out the whole of that season, so you don't know where we would have got to at the end. But it certainly means we're moving in the right direction again, and as I say, best of the rest is huge. You know, the experience of Brighton and Reading and Everton and West Ham, who kind of got a year more experience than us in the Super League, who've all been teams that, you know, have been challenging that top four. Of course, the way that Manchester City and Manchester United really started the season, and yet they were able to climb back up again, does show you the difference still between the top four and the rest. But I think if we can keep building the way we are, then we need to be doing that again. But as you say, the points weren't, it wasn't that we didn't score points against the top sides. And this season's been huge in that we beat Manchester City, albeit a not very good Manchester City at the beginning of the season. We drew with Arsenal, we drew with Man United, taking points off them for the first time. The only team we didn't get anything off this season is Chelsea from the top four. So that's been a great progression. What we need to do now is make sure that we're winning those games at West Ham, at Brighton, with Villa, because those are the games where we lost concentration for a few minutes and ruined what, you know, the work we need, and ultimately we need to be scoring more goals, which we've been saying for a long time now. I think we've had some really great players this season. I mean, I think some brilliant performances. Rhea Percival, until she got injured, was fantastic for us this season, and sad that she's going to be out for some time, an ACL injury, so who knows when she's quite going to be back. Kit Graham as well got injured February time, And so she probably won't be back till the new year at the earliest. So we do need to look at some more creative players over the summer. We've struggled for goals the second half of the season, often because Rachel Williams has had to move back into the midfield area to do what Kit Graham might have been doing. And then there's been nobody in the box waiting for the ball. So I think we definitely need to look at strikers or attack or creative midfielders. Although, of course, everybody's after strikers. But Rianne has been talking in her press conferences about being quite excited about some prospects and some dabbling in the international market. So hopefully they've got some things lined up. Of course, we've had a few people signing new contracts already. So Shalina Zdorsky has signed up for another year. Ash Neville has signed up for 3 years, the longest contract we've ever given anybody, which is brilliant to see. It's the right move, the way the game's going. Kit Graham signed another year despite being injured. So we've got some great players there. We still want to see Molly Bartrip's new contract coming through. And Josie Green, who, along with Ash Neville, got her shirt for 100 caps at the end of the season, although she's somewhat more than 100 caps now. She's 40 something, so she should have had that shirt a while ago. But
she's in the post, right?
Yeah. But she's been playing fantastic. She's not had too much of a chance, but she came in the last in a couple of games. Everton came in and scored a great goal, and then played the whole of the North London derby. She loves the North London derby, Josie Green, and played brilliantly. So we're all keeping our fingers crossed that she can that she'll be offered a new contract as well, because we really think she's proper Spurs as well. She's been there for a long time. She knows what it means. And at 29, you know, she's coming towards the end of her career. So and she's happy, I'm sure, to be a squad player and just be used when she's needed. And you've got to have some players like that, right?
Yeah, we've spoke about that and the mentality of, you know, being a member of the squad, but also being valuable to the team and being able to play your part and everything like that. And like you said, the history that she has with the club and the passion, especially like you said, for the North London derbies, to be able to bring that into maybe some of the new players that we're likely to sign over the summer, to be able to get that invigoration and to be able to get that passion and that drive from them is going to be just as important as her being on the pitch doing it.
Yeah. You know, she brings great experience. And so, yeah, fingers crossed that happens. Obviously, there's likely to be a few people who don't get new contracts. Be interesting to see what happens. I think Rosella Ayan has struggled this season, struggled to find the back of the net, which as a striker you need to do. So be interesting to see what happens there. I think Angela Addison has struggled this season as well. They may decide to keep her and send her on loan. But I think if we do keep her, then she needs to get regular football somewhere else for a while, because she's struggling. Her impact is as a super sub, and she's struggled with that later on in this season as well. So be interesting to see what happens with those players. And then with Cho and with Tang, again, players who haven't really made too much of an impact this season, but have shown moments of what they've got to offer. Kaya Simon's got another year on her contract anyway, so we'll see her next season definitely. And Becky Spencer, of course, has signed another contract, but we wait to see about Tinny. So lots of stuff still to come from the women's team over the closed season, but a fantastic result for them. And as I say, Ash signing that 3-year contract is fantastic news. And I was having a chat with her up at the training centre a couple of weeks ago, and she told me that she'd actually turned down offers from Manchester United and Atletico Madrid. So, I mean, that's great from any perspective, you know, that a player is choosing to stay at Spurs and hoping that, you know, she can stay with us for the rest of her career.
Yeah, that's especially because she's such a fan favourite as well. And she's always, you know, after matches when players are coming over, you know, she's always there. She's you want to say Spurs through and through, and she gets it. She really gets it.
I mean, you know, her daughter comes pretty much every week to the home games. She's just turned one. She comes in her Spurs shirt, and we joke with Ash and her partner that Remy's got to be Spurs forever now, and they're quite happy with that kind of statement. Even though obviously Ash is actually a West Brom fan, because that's where she's from, but I think. Well, and you know, the club have been good to Ash, and Remy goes to training, and all the players love to see her, and it's a real family feeling at the club. And that's you know, if you've got a young family, it's important that you get support and the club doing things like that is really important, and making Ash feel appreciated and valued. And you know, you listen to a lot of the conversations, and why I'm confident that Molly Bartrip will be signing a new contract and things is because you hear those conversations, you hear the players talking in about how much they appreciate the club, and how they feel like they feel recognised and known. You know, at a big club like Spurs, it's very easy for, unless you're Harry Kane, to be lost and not to feel like you're important. But they don't feel like that. The women's players don't feel like that. And I think that's so huge and important. And it's great that the club's doing that and moving to more towards that one club approach much more. In fact, recently, the club tweeted about the men's team. I can't remember exactly what context it was, but they said the men's team, something or other. And it was like, yes, you know, finally we get, you know, because we shouldn't be saying this team and then the women's team. You know, you need to differentiate by saying the men's team and the women's team. And the club is getting there. It's really getting there with those important things. And it's so great to see. And it's so great that the women's team feel appreciated.
Yeah, you also see Spurs have done a lot of work, especially towards the latter part of the season, with the match at the men's ground. You know, having players, manager, everyone encouraging, you know, fans, you know, come down to this one. Like this is a big deal. Come along, get involved. And you know, it's like you said, we're starting to breed that mentality a little bit more about the one club mentality. And you know, there are some things that are starting to stick a bit better. And like you mentioned about the 140 appearances and only just getting the 100 appearances shirt, you know, there's some things that we're still working on. Yeah. So
yeah. But I mean, what I want to see next season isn't Harry Kane doing a 2-minute video saying, everybody go to the women's game. I want Harry Kane doing a video saying, I'm gonna be at the game.
Come or just down. A video of Harry Kane at the women's game. Stadium.
Absolutely. You know, because then, you know, not only do you get the people who want to come to the women's game, you get the people who go, oh, I might bump into Harry Kane. They come along and hopefully they enjoy it and they stay. But, you know, that's the next step, I think, and Michael Dawson was there doing on the pitch at half time with Jenna Scodacci, you know, talking to Coity. Oh,
they're a right pair together, aren't they?
But, yeah, it's you know, so great to see all those things happening, and Jenna being there as well is fantastic. Although we still want to see, please, a testimonial for Jenna, because we were promised the chance to say goodbye to Jenna, and it hasn't happened. And the best way to say goodbye to a player is a testimonial, I think. Get loads of the players from her kind of over her career back to play the current 11. Would have been nice end of season, but if they can't do it end of season, do it as one of the pre-season friendlies. Invite the fans down. And celebrate Jenna, because I think she needs celebrating a little bit more than she has been.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
But yeah, I mentioned that I'd got to go up to the training ground and was chatting with Ash. That was the photo shoot for the new kit for next season.
Yes, Sean, do tell us all the gossip. So Sean, for those of you that aren't aware, so Sean is obviously part of the committee here at the Proud Lilywhites. And we recently were asked if we could have a couple of committee members go down to help promote and film all the photography and all the bits and bobs for the new kit for the new season. And Sean, just like, first of all, what was it like? Was it sort of like behind barriers, kept away from everyone, or was it everyone was just mingling in together? What was the atmosphere? What was the vibe?
Oh no, everybody was mingling in together. So it was literally, me and Phil, who's another Power Lilywhites member, one of the guys who works at the stadium there, and the rest were players and, you know, first team players and youth team players. And then the kind of the crews, the camera guys, the makeup people, all of that kind of stuff. We got ushered into makeup and referred to as the non-athletic talent.
non-athletic talent. Wow.
Yep. So I had my face made up and my hair pulled back in a ponytail, and Phil had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of touch up as well. And then we hung around waiting really for everything to kick off. But Eric Dyer came down and walked past us. He was the first player to get there and fist bumped us as he went past. And then Harry Kane said hello as he walked past, and Antonio Conte, and we stopped and we chatted with Rianne Skinner and Vicky Jepson for a little bit while they came down to have a gander as well. And then I was lucky enough to be part of the home kit shoot, which was on like a bleachers setup. So I got to wear the new home kit with Harry Kane and Lucas Moura and Shalina Zdorsky and Jess Naz. That's a weird kind of, I mean, it was a weird, it's just a weird thing, really. It was almost like a video shoot. They were just, all the time we were moving, people were being told to walk into shop and come out again. And we were throwing balls into bags and cheering whenever anybody got it in the bag. Luckily, I did manage to get it in the bag when I... A little bit nervous.
I want to see the outtake footage. I need to see the outtakes of this.
So that was fun. And then you've got people kind of stood around the periphery watching what's going on. And then the away kit stuff, which Phil and I were both in, was on the team bus. So we got to go onto the team bus. And we had Eric Dyer there. We had Decky, Ryan Sessegnon, Christian Romero, Ash Neville, Evelina Suominen. So, yeah, a whole load of us in the bus. And for that one, I was wearing the new training top. So, yeah, we just hung out on the bus chatting, and then we had to all walk off the bus and chat and things. And that's where I got to chat to Ash a bit and congratulate her on her new contract and chat with her about things. So, yeah, really, really brilliant day. But no division. We were all stood together. Obviously, you know, Harry was only around, was, you know, occasionally get somebody coming out. You've got Harry for 2 more minutes.
I'm a timer. Well, it sounds like, one, it was a wonderful experience, and it's great for the club to recognise Proudly Whites as an organisation, and that it's important that we're just other fans at the end of the day, and to have fans involved with this is obviously really important to the club. So that's really good.
Yeah, we were representing the overs category as well. They needed some people slightly older, so that's the category that we filled. But yeah, great. I mean, great that they feel able to trust us in that environment, and to be able to go down and meet those people. And it's, you know, and as you say, that representation is important as well for us to be there and be part of it. And you'll see the campaigns coming out in June and July, because it was the home kit and the away kit, and obviously we'll be sharing stuff once it's all released. But until then, I can tell you about the experience, but I can't tell you
you can't give us any niggling little details, any of the leaks that you've seen online, or are you fully NDA'd?
I can tell you the home shirt's white.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging. If it wasn't, I would be concerned.
Yeah, no, fully NDA'd, unfortunately. So no further details than that. But
we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled then.
Yes. As I say, early June, I think, or early or mid-June is when the home kit launch is happening. So
brilliant. So when you were, you know, mingling along with some of the players, did you sort of get to talk to them about how you think the season's gone so far? What was that, the sort of small talk?
And no, with Vicky and Rianne, we had a bit of a chat about the season and how it had gone and what we thought about, or at least I did. And then obviously I was chatting with Ash, because that part of that shoot was kind of us all just having a natter, and so we were able to. But the other kind of bits were there wasn't really opportunity to chat with the players. We could observe them a little bit, and Lucas Moura and Dane Scarlett were having a little bit of banter going on and things, so you can see that kind of relationship there. And but otherwise it was kind of as I say, you know, people like Harry Kane, you know, the women's team had only just finished training, and so we're a little bit late coming down to the shoot. So, and Shalina was in the first set of pictures, so, and then all the players, once they finished the group shots, had to go off and have individual shots in the different shirts and things at different stations. So it was a busy day for them, so there wasn't really too much opportunity to chat. A busy day and no time for pulling Harry aside and finding out whether he's staying or not.
Yeah, well, especially at this time of the season as well, with you know, all those post-mortem matches coming up.
Yes, yeah, not really the opportunity to have big chats, but still a great opportunity to be there and be part of it and see how it all works and see part of that different setup. And we were at the lodge at the training centre, so we got to have a quick glimpse into this lovely hotel that the players get to stay at before games and things. So, yeah, really, really interesting day, and something different, a once in a lifetime opportunity to be non-athletic talent and stand on bleachers staring out into the distance.
Not athletic, Alan, that's still.
But so the men's team, what can we say? I guess we should talk about the Liverpool game, and players disappointed with a draw, but in and of itself, that is quite
a
nice
thing. That's a big step, isn't it? Like, okay, first of all, 6 points off of City, just as a, you know, 6 points off City, didn't lose against Liverpool twice.
Yep.
Admittedly, lost to Chelsea four times, but didn't, you know,
you can't have it all.
Pick your battles. There are positives there. It's not like we're coming away from the season. We're potentially heading towards fifth when fourth was in our grasp, and we've not been able to get points off the top four. It's not been that sort of season. You know, we've shown at times that we're unbeatable at times, but it's that consistency, and it's about making sure that it's not just turning up for a couple of the big matches and then some of the not so big matches, no one turns up, and it's some of the most slow-paced, relaxed football we've ever seen when you're 1-0 down in the 80th minute. And it's like, where's the, you know, where's the passion? Where's the drive? Where's, you know, where's the pride? I think that's an important word, especially with the matches coming up as well. Players need to be able to play for that pride.
And I think it's interesting that Deki was given a bit of a rest at the start of a game recently and then came on and proved his point. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? Obviously, players maybe lull themselves into that false sense of, okay, I've had an impact here, I'm doing really well.
Yeah, because he did then have that one match where he sort of was anonymous again, and then he was dropped to the bench, came from the bench, and bam.
Yeah, made that impact. So sometimes I think there's that kind of learning curve, isn't there, of players of, you know, exactly what they need to be doing, not just to make an impression, but to be keeping going and doing that the whole time. And I think it'd be interesting. We've got interest, haven't we, with players who come and players who'll go, and it looks like Stevie B will not be with us next season because he wants more regular football, but Lucas Moura might be, depending on what happens in the transfer market. Obviously now it's not in our hands whether we finish in that Champions League spot, but then a month or two ago we were talking about Champions League pretty much being out the window. So
I think the times of when we've done these pods have been quite impressive from a perspective of, it's gone from the first pod, we'd won 3 matches in a row, we were top of the table. Wow, what's going on here under Nuno? And the next pod was 3 matches lost, and then I think we got another result. And then it was like, oh, well, maybe not so good. And then it was, we're starting to do really well again. The top four are faltering. Champions League is going to be, you know, it's there. And then it all got wiped away so quickly. And then we had the managerial changes and everything like that. And up in the running to January. And it was, you know, Conte's not going to get fourth. He came with the expectation of not going to be able to get fourth. We're not going to do it this season. It's next season. And it's amazing how quickly over the course of the season, since he's had the summer signings and things like that, how, when you look at the form table, how we're up there in the top three.
Yeah.
And, you know, that speaks wonders. And obviously you always get a little bit of a bounce when a new manager comes in, such as Nuno. And you expect it to an extent. And obviously we've had matches where it's been dreadful, and there's no way of sugarcoating that. We've been dreadful at times. And it's looking at where the season has gone and how we've been really high and really low, and we've thought we're going to get Champions League football, then there's no chance of getting any European football at all. And then it's, oh, well, maybe we can get Europa Conference League, and then maybe we can get Europa League, and now, oh, all of a sudden we can get Champions League again, and oh my God, we're above Arsenal, we've got games in hand, and then okay, well, we're back in fifth again, and it's no longer in our control, and it's, you know,
sometimes prefer it when it's not in our control, though, because when it's in our control, I kind of feel that's when it's more likely to go wrong for us.
Yeah, it's when it's expected of us, and all of a sudden the pundits and everyone are start saying, oh, Spurs are going to do this, Spurs are going to do that. When that starts happening and there's noise, distracts, and as soon as it's like, yeah, no, it's out of their hands, they're not going to get it anymore, all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, the pressure's off, and no one thinks we're going to get it, let's go out and prove them wrong.
Well, I still think it's a huge, the Northampton derby is obviously still huge Thursday night. If we can win that one, then we put the pressure back on Arsenal, because then they've got to win their remaining games. And let's face it, when you're playing teams who are in the relegation area, it's never as straightforward as you would like it to be.
I've also heard whispers that Trippier might be back for Newcastle as well, which would be fantastic, because obviously they play Arsenal, and that you know, you look at the stats of when Newcastle have had Trippier in the team when they haven't, and it's so polar opposites, absolute polar opposites. So, you know, having him back for them is going to be really good, and hopefully it, you know, be nice for him to be able to help his former team out a little bit there.
I was going to say, the romance of Trippier coming back and helping us get fourth would be a little bit of football magic, wouldn't it? But whatever happens, I think we have to be happy with a fifth place spot, considering the season that we've had. It would be lovely to get fourth, and don't get me wrong, I will be there on Thursday night and on Sunday afternoon behind the team, hoping that we can go into that last game of the season still with a shout at fourth. But if we finish in fifth, I think after the season we've had, and also the rumours being that Conte wants to stay, he's invested now in this project, and so long as he feels that Levy's going to back him, which there's no suggestion that Levy won't, beyond the fact that Levy is Levy, but the rumours are that Levy is proud of having Conte as manager and wants to keep him. So, and then if you keep Conte, you keep Harry Kane, I think. And then, you know, we've got a season ahead of hopefully, you know, a full Conte team with what he wants, 6-7 new signings coming in, and we'll get all Spursy again and be like, yes, this is the season, and it won't be. But you know, I think that's the best chance we've got of success at the moment, and I think hopefully we've got everything in place for next season to start off in the best possible way.
I think getting fourth place would give us a better platform to be able to achieve that quicker, because I'm not entirely convinced that Spurs, you know, we've had, don't get me wrong, we had some great signings in January, but I'm not entirely convinced that a fifth place Spurs would attract the level of player that Conte needs and that he's asking for, without there being a big monetary incentive. Because, you know, the goal for those sorts of players is Champions League football. And sure, they know that Spurs have not necessarily had they've had a mixed match season, and, you know, it was out of their control sort of thing in terms of how the season started. So, you know, there's this and that. And, you know, it's what the individual believes is potential at the end of the day. And obviously we've had some great signings come in, and they've shown that they can come in and they can hit the ground running and they can do it. And like you said, Conte wants 6 or 7 new signings, and if he can get them and they all come in with the same attitude and the same work ethic and they hit the ground running, sure, there's the possibility that we can start to be climbing up the table and challenging those higher places. But I do think that having that platform of getting fourth this season would give us a massive step towards that. It would give us almost like a head start on it.
But hopefully...
Not to say that coming fifth, which is the other option, wouldn't be seen as a successful season, because it would. It really would.
Yeah, but I also think that Conte is a draw in and of himself. And I think, yes, there will be some players who won't come to us because they want Champions League football and that right now, and that's what they want. But equally, I think players who are hungry for success and maybe a bit younger will go, okay, well, yeah, but they're on a journey. And if Conte can get people believing that we'll get Champions League football the following season, then I think, you know, there will be some players. Although obviously, interestingly, one of the rumours is that we're going to be looking for more experienced players this summer, rather than our usual youth players. That he wants players who he can he knows will come in and do a job straight away. But you know, I think to be part of what's happening at Spurs at the moment is a good thing. And the players, you know, if you're just a player who's just wanting to come because they want to win a trophy straight away, again, I would question whether they'd be the right person for, players for Spurs anyway, because throughout, as we were talking about with the women's team, you know, there's a family feel to the club, and you want people who are there, who are in it for more than just a trophy at the end of the season.
And just the 90 minutes, yeah. Yeah, that's very, very true. I do also think that, you know, from a neutral player perspective, you know, trying to weigh up whether or not Champions League is the be-all and end-all. And if so, and if you want to go to a team that's starting to challenge it, are Arsenal really the team that players are going to want to go for? You know, yeah. you think Arsenal playing in the Champions League is not going to be as much of a drive necessarily as the thought of one season away playing under Conte in the Champions League. That, like you said, Conte in itself, but I've heard a lot of neutrals saying that they would rather watch a Conte team, Spurs, in the Champions League than the current way that Arsenal set up to play and the way that Arsenal have gone about their season, purely from a neutral perspective. And I think that's a really, really interesting point.
And I also think that if you look at Arsenal and Spurs, you just got to look at where we are right now. There's very little to choose between them in terms. And so, yes, if you want Champions football now, if Arsenal get fourth, then that will be the place to go. But if what you want is a more rounded footballing experience, I think a team that is probably closer to where they want to be, I think that's probably Spurs, because Arsenal have had their problems. You know, I mean, that they've not got a striker at the moment. You know, that there are a lot of issues there. And then you look at Man United, who are another team that might be going for those players, and they're even further off from where we are in terms of where we want to be and where they want to be. And they've, you know, I think they've made mistake after mistake in terms of managerial appointments, and the latest, you know, the caretaker manager thing hasn't worked because they've chosen somebody who's just not used to that role. And then they wanted, in theory, they wanted him to stick around as a consultant, but now that's not going to happen because he hasn't had successful relationships with the players. So I think, you know, you whilst you've got your Liverpool, your City, your Chelsea, who are always going to be...
Even Chelsea at the moment, though, you know, given everything that's happening with them, like there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to retain players. There's no guarantee they're going to be able to sign new players. There's a whole grey cloud over that at the moment still.
Well, yeah, and around, you know, they haven't done significantly better than us this season, and there's that whole kind of question of, you know, how much money are they going to have next season? What kind of players they're going to be? It looks like the whole ownership thing will be sorted relatively quickly now, but what is that owner going to do? How much are they going to spend on the club? Because we know that their success has been a lot to do with how much money they've been able to spend. So there's a lot of question marks, and I think it's going to be a really interesting end to the season. Certainly if we can get a result on Thursday night, and I mean, that's going to be a fantastic night anyway. I think, you know, the first time we've had a full house at the new stadium for a North London derby, or at least the potential of a full house. We don't know how many people are going to show up. It is an evening match, but, you know, the first time where we've all been able to be there for some time, and we won't want to be losing that game, hopefully, and the players won't want to be losing it either.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere is definitely going to be a raucous one. I worry about it being a weekday evening, just from the perspective of things tend to spill over a little bit, and the weekday evening ones, you know, people have a drink or two, and there's that whole atmosphere around that. So, you know, sure, it's gonna be loud, it's gonna be thrilling, it's gonna be pulsating, it's gonna be edge of the seat before you even look at what's actually happening on the pitch. That's all just what's going to come with the event. and the sorts of people that want to go to these matches and sort of, you know, the season ticket holders who are like, yeah, I want to be there for this and I want to make my voice heard. So, it, you know, the players need to respond to that. They need to match that level.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, you know, hopefully they will do. There's a lot of players there who understand the importance of the North London Derby. Three games left to play, you know, let's leave everything out on the pitch like they did at Anfield, like the women's team did on Sunday. You know, it's not, you know, yes, it's another busy week, but it's the last busy week and then they get a bit of a break. So fingers crossed we can finish the season strongly, even if that means finishing in fifth. But let's do it in style. Let's make Arsenal chase it. Let's make Arsenal have to get all the points that they can, and keep our fingers crossed that the close season brings us all the things that Conte wants it to bring us.
I think it's going to be an exciting summer as well in terms of everything that's going to happen with the clubs in the top four and fifth and sixth and so on and so forth. I think, you know, the impact of COVID is still there. But financially, clubs are starting to recover. So that investment is starting to come to fruition again. So I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see some of the player valuations and what players are selling for and being bought for. You know, the quantity and quality that's transferred. I think it's going to be a really, you know, you've got to stay clued into it. Cause, you know, the blink of an eye, and I think you can miss a player or two.
Well, and I think it's interesting that rumours, so we don't know, but the rumours that we hear are that the club is willing to sell those players that we don't want anymore for less than we bought them for, just to clear them out so that we've got space for new people. I think is good news. You know, that is the real kind of start of that kind of transition, that big overhaul that we've been looking for, and just get those players who cause problems in the dressing room out of the club, keep the players that want to be there, that play with their heart on their sleeve, and bring in some new players who want to be at Spurs and want to be part of our journey, and who can bring that talent and that skill to the club. Anything's possible. I mean, that's the beauty of football, isn't it? We reset the clock. We go again slightly earlier this season, right at the beginning of August. With a bit of a break in the middle, but that's what we love about football. You know, there's always a new season, there's always a new hope, and as Spurs fans, we do love to hope.
We do. So let's reflect back, Sian. So we had some nominations for both the men's and the women's teams. We had nominees for the players of the season, and goals of the season. And I believe, Sian, we've been waiting for this moment. You have the results.
I know. Lee's laptop broke, so I get to be the one that finds the results. It's excellent.
So,
not so good news for Lee, who needs a new laptop. But do you want to start with the men's or the women's?
Let's start with the women's team.
Start with the women's. So season's finished. Everything is done and dusted. And probably no surprise in the player of the season, 57% of the vote from the Proud Lily Whites membership went to the player who also won the overall fans and junior fans player of the season. Ash Neville is our player of the season. She didn't win last season, but the season before she did, which is when we started doing these, I think. So her second time winning the Proud Lily Whites women's Tottenham Hotspur player of the season, Ashley Neville. Well done, Ash. Great season. I mean, just a brilliant season. She was the first Spurs player to win a player of the month in the Super League award. All previously they've gone to other teams, never to Spurs. So she was the first one to do that in February. She scored goals. She's put in those last-ditch tackles. She's saved things off the line, as she always does. Ended the season with a headed goal. And fantastic season. And 3-year contract. She's going to be with us for a while. And part of that is because she knows that the fans love her and want her to be there. So brilliant news there. Less obviously women's goal of the season went to one of those goals against Brighton in that our biggest scoreline of the season. 42% of the vote said that Ashley Neville's goal against Brighton was our goal of the season. So a little bit less clear cut, but still clearly the winner. Ash wins both awards in the women's team this season.
Ash has done the double. Congratulations, Ash.
I mean, honourable mention from my perspective to Jess Naz and her goal against Everton, which hasn't won anything, but I think was the goal of the season. But a fantastic strike from Jess against Everton, but not taking it away from Ash. Brilliant goal against Brighton. And and her first goal of the season award.
Perfect. And then we've got the men's results as well.
Yeah, so the men's results we've got in. Player of the season, again. Actually, again, from two seasons ago, it's the same player won. 59% of the vote this year. That man, Sonny, is the men's player of the season once again. Again, fantastic season. I mean, well, he's one of only a few players now to score 20 goals in a Premier League season. Obviously, Harry's done it quite a lot, but Sonny's now amongst that group. Fantastic season from him. I mean, brilliant partnership with Harry Kane, of course, but I think with Sonny signing a new contract and just being happy to play at Spurs, that endears him to the fans even more.
Yeah, he's such a likeable character as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and seems to be quite an important character behind the scenes in terms of welcoming new players and keeping that kind of friendly atmosphere. And yeah, really important player and just somebody who seems to love being a Spurs player and not
just loves his football. Yeah. He loves his football as well.
Not interested in going anywhere else, thank you very much.
Yeah. The men's goal of the season. I think I can figure out which one this one might be.
Well, and again, this one is the same player as the player of the season. So with 54% of the vote, Sonny's second goal against Leicester is our men's goal of the season.
It was such a sweet, sweet strike. And I know that it's recent, so it's still fresh in the memory. But, you know, you compare, say, obviously he got the goal of the season two seasons ago as well, didn't he, when he did the length of the pitch against Burnley. And obviously that won numerous awards. But you look at the two goals sort of side by side, and one of them is just sheer determination, a little bit of everything. But this more recent one is just pure class, pure unfiltered class.
Well, and his goals have been, you know, towards the latter end of the season, scoring with his right, scoring with his left, who knows which is his better foot, you know, just fantastic, fantastic player and fully deserving of the awards. So congratulations to Heung-min Son and Ash Neville. You are our players of the season and our goals of the season scorers. So brilliant stuff.
Perfect. And I think that's a really nice note to be able to draw this pod to an end. What do you think, Sean?
Go on then. We've probably nattered on too long now, haven't we?
I think the next one will be we'll just review the men's season once it's finally come to its conclusion.
We might see if we can get somebody interesting to come and chat with us as well. But
maybe we'll see if we can get Jenna back, because we did say about getting her back at the end of the season, didn't we? Perfect. So I think that's a great summary of the women's season there, some great achievements, and also to celebrate the players and goals of the season as well. So we'll sign off there. So that's everything. Thanks very much for joining us. I've been Lee
and I've been Sean. We'll speak to you again in about a month's time.